BBC Radio Solent.
Breakfast in Dorset.
With Steve Harris.
Thanks, Andy. It's amazing the things you can achieve on the other side of the world because of the power of the internet. Chris Krostaff founded the social enterprise A Safe World for Women at her home near Sturminster Newton in 2008. 6 years on, and it's helping women's issues in parts of the world as diverse as Uganda, DR Congo and India. And Chris joins me in the studio now. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Appreciate you coming in. So let's talk about the foundation of the trust first up. This was something which you'd not really had much experience in before, and you were inspired by an old-fashioned feminist, your mother-in-law.
Yeah, I wouldn't actually call her a feminist, but certainly a very strong woman born in 1920. When she passed away, that was the second big turning point in my life, which really made me step back and look at life and think that life and death, and that I wanted to have an impact on the world while I was here. A couple of years before, I had lost a child shortly after birth. There was nearly practically stillborn. And that my mother-in-law talked a lot to me about her belief that women have a real forte for networking and cooperating. And so those two things together made me feel really passionate about doing something really for mothers and children.
And so you set up the trust with some other, there were co-founders as well, is that fair to say?
Yes, my co-founder was actually an online friend.
And so had you ever done anything like this before? Had you ever had a website or designed a website, you know, those kind of things?
No, but I'm extremely fortunate in that my husband, Andrew, is a brilliant website designer
Oh, really?
And IT person, and also passionate about the same things. And I became completely overawed by the potential yeah. of what could be done.
And did you think when you started it that it would be something which would span the globe like it seems to have become, or did you have more modest aspirations?
I had no idea. I had a big vision, but it's obviously mind-blowing to see that that's actually coming to fruition. So I started by setting up an online community. Mm. A women-only community where women could come together from all over the world to talk about deeper issues than what sort of is covered in the women's
Mum's Net or something, yeah.
Well, Mum's Net, I'm not going to rather than talking about makeup and, you know, whatever things, I know women want to talk about other things. So.
Yeah. And it was powerful as well, because it is something you're doing in North Dorset, and you've got I don't know, women in internet cafes in Cameroon stumbling across the forum and thinking, well, I like what these guys are saying, and then taking that message away back into their communities.
Absolutely. I was a young student, went into an internet cafe in Cameroon when we just set up our online community in Bouya in Cameroon, and she's gone on. She was inspired by the community and went on to set up her own group in Cameroon called Women for a Change Bouya, which has now become Women for a Change Cameroon 6 years later. And several other examples, a Congolese woman called Bahati went ahead and set up with her husband a group in DR Congo called Kafapri, which works in the conflict-ridden areas up in the mountains in very rural areas where there are not other NGOs even operating, helping the rape victims, rape survivors and children born of rape.
See, that surprises me, because it's very easy to think that the internet is something for the affluent West. Is that no longer the case? Is that changing? You can get a message out via the internet to some of these war-torn corners of the world?
It's changing. There's still some amazing statistic, like a third or maybe two-thirds of the world who are not on the internet. Mm. 200 million fewer women than men, I think, are on the internet globally. But yes, there are people who can have access to the internet who can then speak for the other people. So, for example, a group in DR Congo can give a voice to over 200 women in DR Congo who have no chance of accessing internet. There's not even an infrastructure. When we did a fundraising appeal for some sewing machines for them, and we have photos, they sent photos of the women carrying the sewing machines up the mountains on their heads.
Yeah. It must be mind-blowing to you to think that this thing, which was a seed of an idea 6 years ago, and still, you know, it's still done from your front room in North Dorset, is now this global behemoth.
It's totally mind-blowing. The following year after we set it up, I went with my husband Andrew to Uganda to actually see some of the people I'd made contact with in a very remote region, warrior region, poverty-stricken. And so I've seen it now, which is also different to just hearing it, talking about it on the internet. I'm also fully aware that there are problems here in Dorset. It's not, I feel very, very blessed to live here, but on the way here, there was a headline I saw, shock as food bank users saw.
Yes, and this was the front page of the Echo yesterday.
We're always keen to hear from local
people. And so, that's kind of what you do, unless I'm misunderstanding it, is that you act as a hub, a place where women can go and talk about the issues that are relevant to them, and they decide in their communities, whether that be in some far-flung corner of the globe or closer to home, they decide what it is that they would like to act upon.
Absolutely. It's about empowering women. Often, they choose to help their children. A lot of it, our partners work on education, giving children schooling. But yes, we don't actually go out and do the work overseas ourselves, because that is not empowering the people. So we partner with groups who are already there or who want to set up a group.
Mm. And this idea, a safer world for women, is it to the exclusion of men, or there are men who can also get involved with making the world a safer place?
We have a lot of men involved.
Yeah.
We're all volunteers. Most of our volunteers are women, but certainly in these partner groups, often the women aren't even in a position where they can actually coordinate and run the group. And often it might be men who are running it, who are helping to give the women a voice.
I know this isn't what you're here for, but we broadcast in Dorset. There'll be people listening who maybe like the sound of what you do, the good work that you've done. Is there a way that they can help? Having said everything about how you're a hub that reaches out to other parts of the world, can they get involved somehow?
Yeah, we're always keen to hear from local groups. We're in Dorset in the UK. Mm. We also have arranged for our local school, the Bishop's Cornwall School, partners with a school in Kabong that we visited in Karamoja in Uganda. So we also welcome schools who are interested in partnering with overseas schools.
Well, it's really good to meet you this morning. I'll follow your story with some interest. And worth saying that there's been some really good vindication for the Charitable Trust as well. UN award for you, and you're nominated for this Internet Award as well at the moment. So let us know how that one goes. But thank you very much for coming in this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Chris Krostaffer, founder of A Safe World for Women. You can find their website at asafeworldforwomen.org.